Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. We are at Impart, Inspire, Influence, and Impact with Infinitely More Life. Our goal here is to provide you with information rooted in the Word of God that will inspire you, influence you, and impact your life daily on a long-lasting basis, as well as those around you. I am your host, Era Jackson, and today I am joined by Pastor Travis Hall. Pastor Hall is the lead pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, for the church Life Church International. He resides there with his wife and five children. Well, that's a lot. Just one short of a volleyball team. Pastor Hall, true. Pastor Hall is a well-known conference speaker, workshop presenter, and he enjoys working with leaders and developing people to discover, develop, and protect their God-given purpose. Is that correct, Pastor Hall?
That is absolutely correct. And it is an absolute honor to be on your podcast. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely a pleasure. We are also able to listen to you on your own podcast, Transformational Truths, and we're going to get to that a little bit later, as well as your website, Cultivate Your Purpose, CultivateMyPurpose.com. We'll get back to that too. So let me ask you, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. We had a
We had
an incredible weekend, and just getting around here. Tuesday is our first day back into the office, so doing good.
All right, 2020 has been good to you despite COVID?
No.
No. Thanks for being truthful.
Yeah, no, 2020 hasn't been good to me, but my faith in Christ has been good to me. God's always good. Life isn't always good, but God is good.
Absolutely. Say that one more time. Regardless of what's going on around us, He is good. He is faithful. I have something here. You said that everything that has happened with your life and your ministry is because of prayer and learning how to eliminate deadly thoughts that keep us from walking in all God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is that what brought you to ministry?
What brought me to ministry ultimately, I mean, the simple answer for that is the call of God, but it wasn't a simple call. My faith was very shallow, very young. My parents didn't come into faith until I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I had seen a different life up until that point in their lives. Their example, their model was much different for me. And so when I was about 14, I went through a crisis. I lost my brother. He was killed when he was only 25 years old. And I was angry at God. And for the next 4 years, I was 14 years old, from 14 to 18. I was very, you would say, rebellious. I had an appetite for destruction. I was just angry. And I did everything I could that I thought would be hurtful to God. And so I made a lot of horrible decisions and made a lot of mistakes. My needle was at zero, going backwards pretty fast. And but at the age of 18, I was a young father. I was in a relationship. I had dropped out of high school. I was getting high and drunk just about every weekend, and selling drugs. And God just met me in a very dark place. The bottom had fallen out of my life. And I was pulled over at about 2 o'clock in the morning with a bag full of weed in the car and a loaded gun. And my friends and I were pulled out. Guns put to the back of our heads, told if we move, they'd blow our brains out. And I remember in that moment, something was shaking inside of me. That wasn't the life that I'd signed up for. Now, that was the night that I put my faith in Christ entirely, but that was the night something began to break inside of me. You see, my parents had been praying for me. My parents had never stopped praying for me. And God was answering those prayers. And for anyone who might be listening, who's praying for a family member who maybe is making destructive decisions, I just want to encourage them and tell them, don't stop praying.
Right.
Your prayers are not in vain. God answered my parents' prayers, but He did it in a unique way. It started with things falling apart. And it wasn't until I lost everything that I realized I couldn't go through life without God in it. And so I was driving in my car one night, and I don't know how to explain it to your listeners other than it felt almost as if the Lord had sat in the passenger seat of my car. And I knew He was there, and I knew He loved me, and I surrendered my life to Christ. And then I answered the call to ministry several years later, and I haven't looked back. God's been very, very good to me.
My goodness gracious. Wow. So that's been almost 20 years. Am I right?
Yeah, that has been a minute. It's if you make me do the math, I'm going to feel old.
Okay, let's not. Let's not do the math. Wow. So you said a few things there that have been conversations with my colleagues here at Infinitely More in the last couple of weeks. And I'm not kidding you. This was last week, Monday morning. We had a prayer call, 5 o'clock in the morning. We do that every 5 o'clock, every Monday. And my spirit just said, we are wild horses that need to be broken. Mm. That is the only way that we can be the beautiful, graceful people that God created us to be. We need, just like you see a horse out there on the range, they're just bucking and they're wild and they're just full of attitude and rebellion, just like you said. And that trainer is out there with that whip, and he is out there and he's out there. And that spirit of that horse finally surrenders, like we surrender to God. Yeah. And God is our trainer, and his word is that whip. And we just surrender and we just get peaceful. You know how that spirit is broken? That horse just gets peaceful and they just give in. And that's what happened to you in that car. You said things were falling apart. And until they're falling apart, they can't be put back together by the master.
Mm.
Man.
So true. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
And I think for me, it required me to use your illustration, that revelation that God gave you, that metaphor, which is so rich. I think for me, it just came to the point of trusting the one who had his hands on the reins. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a horse was finally quote unquote broken is somebody who had just gotten to the point of finally trusting that the one who is leading me, the one who is establishing my direction, is going to lead me into a good place.
Amen.
And sometimes it takes some time before you can realize that.
Absolutely. And it took you the better part of 4, 5, 6 years because
that's right.
You didn't do it right away. You said that's you didn't answer the call right away. So it literally was not just one event. It wasn't being pulled over and pulled out of the car.
No.
It was a series of events.
Absolutely.
Series of events. And you know, it's so interesting how on your podcast last week, you had Pastor Patrick Winfield.
Yes.
And he talked about how the events of your past are really the training ground for your purpose.
Yes.
And that's so interesting because we know that to be true here at Infinitely More Life with our leadership and our speakers and our authors. Things they've gone through have shaped them for where we are right now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that is exactly what happened to you. You didn't know your brother's death wasn't in vain because look what it taught you brought you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So true. Wow. That's amazing. Tell me about your church. Tell me about Life Church International.
Life Church International is, we are so blessed to be a part of this ministry. My wife and I have been here for going on 4 years. In fact, just this weekend, we celebrated our 4-year anniversary. It'll be officially
4 years.
Thank you very much. It'll be officially 4 years, January 1st. But it was, it's been an incredible ride. Life Church International is full of beautiful, incredible people who, just like you and I, have experienced brokenness, have experienced pain, and are coming into the awareness of how much we need the grace of God and coming into the awareness of how good God truly is. He is a good God. And we're a diverse ministry. We believe the kingdom of God is diverse. And we are excited about what God's doing in this season, despite the adversity that we're all facing in this unique season. But we're passionate about helping people discover Jesus. We're passionate about feeding hungry people, both spiritually and practically. That's just in a nutshell, that's who we are.
Okay. All right. So in addition to your podcast and then Cultivate My Purpose website, which is amazing. I did look at that.
Thank you.
And the very top, well, we'll get back to that. So in addition to those two things, you present workshops all the time to universities and ministries and churches. So I want to briefly touch on a few of those topics that I saw.
Sure.
And I want you to tell me how you do these things. So One of the things that the first two things that you seem to start with, which would make sense, would be helping people to discover their purpose and to develop their purpose. Yep. What sort of tools do you use, or strategies do you use to do that?
You know, the scripture says that many are the purposes of a man's heart, but a man of understanding will draw them out. And mm-hmm. I do believe that the Lord really does raise up leaders and people to help people draw out the things that God's already placed on the inside of their hearts. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I just feel really passionate about. I live by the motto that the reason something bothers you is often because God created you to be a part of the solution. Mm. And it bothered me that people didn't know why they were here. It bothered me to watch people struggle so much with a sense of identity and a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And that for me was my own awakening, that God wanted me to help people discover their purpose. And one of the ways I do that is I just lead them through a series of questions that helps get people outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because we've oftentimes been conditioned by toxic voices or limiting voices that have convinced us that mm-hmm. there's nothing for us to do, or we disqualify ourselves mm-hmm. for the things that God has created us for because of people who told us what we can't do. Right. And so I try to ask them questions that help navigate people, get them outside of their own limited mindsets mm-hmm. and maybe lift some lids and just help them to see, wait a minute, did God put that there? For example, I'll give you an example. A common question. It's not a unique question. It's a common question. But when it comes to the sense of purpose or discovering mm-hmm. purpose, it's important. What would you do in your life if you knew for a fact you would never fail? I think the fear of failure is one of the greatest hindrances to men and women discovering their purpose. They're mm-hmm. afraid of looking foolish. They're afraid of what people are going to think. They're afraid that, what if they take a step of faith and it doesn't work mm-hmm. out? What does that mean for them? Mm-hmm. The reason that is because we struggle with our own identity. If I mm-hmm. tie my identity to my activity, then I will assume that failure means that mm-hmm. I am a failure, when in reality, failure just means I just learned something new. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I'm not supposed to do it. I just learned a new way not to do it. Right. Another question I might ask you is, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't have to face the pain of dealing with your past? I think a lot of us struggle to step into our purpose because it would mean unpacking some things in our heart that we've never slowed down long enough to deal with. And that old pain will keep us from discovering new purpose.
Mm-hmm. So powerful. And I'll tell you why this is hitting home for me. We just did a 7-week series on this podcast about mind control. Mm. It was change your thoughts, shift your life. Mm. And it talks exactly about those things. You have to go back and visit what one of our speakers, our consultant, we have a counselor, Christian counselor. She said, you need to go back and look at your baggage and unpack it.
Yes. Yes.
What's keeping you stuck?
Yes.
And is it dripping on other areas of your life like a wet sponge?
Yeah.
That you need to wring out.
So good. Yeah, I think.
We had another speaker talking about grief and then fear of failure. But there's a lot of people that are also afraid to succeed. They're afraid to succeed. They're like, what if this does work? What then?
Right.
You know?
That's
what
right.
What then? So that's incredible. So is this a series of questions that you give time to answer? Is it an interactive workshop? How does that work?
It just depends. It can be whatever they want it to be. We can make it interactive, or it can be a presentation. But the presentation you're referring to in terms of discovery, that's a very common request for. I've taught that on university campuses mm-hmm. and different team environments. And it's been really beneficial. And honestly, all of the questions are questions that I had to ask myself on my own journey. Mm. And they were questions that, you know, I really believe that the strongest messages, the most impactful messages are the ones we first live.
Yes.
And I believe that's true with learning how to discover our purpose. And a fixed mindset or a limited mindset is one of the greatest hindrances. So asking those questions that get us outside of ourselves is key. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is so true. You hear oftentimes people say that the biggest stumbling block is between your ears.
Absolutely.
You have to get outside of yourself. Get out of your own way.
Absolutely.
Get out of your own way. And if we get out of our own way and let God lead, then we're that much farther ahead, because there are so many things that we do that me personally, sometimes I don't know how I get through my day and I've accomplished 25 things and I'm like, oh, it wasn't me. It was God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just get out
Absolutely.
Of your way.
Absolutely. Here's what I'm convinced. I'm convinced that if more people would stop spending so much time fighting with the critic on Facebook and they spent more time fighting the critic in their own mind, they would be a lot further ahead in their life and the development of their purpose. And they would be able to walk in their destiny, because the greatest critics in the world are not the ones outside of us. Mm-mm. It's the voices that we hear in our own head.
You know, and here at Infinitely More Life, we talk about that too. We talk about, what have people spoken over you that you believe, you internalize, and you repeat? Those aren't things that God put in you. Those are not his promises. That's not the word says about you. That's not what God says about you.
No, that's right.
God doesn't say you're a failure, that you'll never get to college, that you'll never be anything, that I wish you were never born. How many parents have said that out of anger?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I think ultimately, especially if we're talking about the context of spirit, I think my personal opinion is it's the enemy's activity in our life that really works very hard to poison our perception. I'm convinced of that. I think the enemy is after our perception, because perception is something that evolves every day with new experiences, new information, new revelation. Our perception is constantly being formed. And if that perception is poisoned by negative ideas, mindsets, death that has been spoken over our lives, over the course of our lives growing up, it forms this perception. And once that is poisoned, everything I see, I will see it through that lens, whatever I believe. And so everything becomes poison at that point. I think scripture teaches us this repeatedly, but the most obvious example, I think, is, you know, the 12 spies. 10 of them had poisoned perception. They believed that they could not do what God called them to do. Two of them said, no, we've got this. We believe the word of the Lord. We refuse to believe this negative word. We refuse to believe the word of the enemy. And I think when we have death spoken over our lives for so many years, or they come from voices that we care about and love, those seeds go deep into our heart, and we begin to believe this untruth about ourselves.
That is so true. And if you don't have someone in your life, especially as a teen or a young adult, who is negating those voices that have been planted and cultivated, and they dig those up and uproot them, then you just continue to grow that and fertilize that with your own watering in your head, saying, you know what, I didn't make it on this. I am a failure. Or I didn't get into the college I wanted to. I am a failure. Or I'm not smart enough. Or my teacher was right. I should not have ever thought I could. We got to stop that early on. And that's why it's so important for parents to speak life over their children. We all know the Bible tells us that life and death is in the tongue.
That's right.
Everything we say has life or death.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true. And that's why what you're doing with your podcast and what you're doing in ministry and in the world is so important. I think there is a shortage of life speakers, and I don't think that's ever been more apparent than it is right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're going to take a quick little break, and then I want to come back and ask you about protecting their purpose and what you mean by redeeming their purpose.
Awesome. Great.
Okay. Give me just a moment. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back after this.